Hello and welcome to Cat the Baker. I'm Chef KB. I did it. I'm sitting in my new apartment. I mean, it's not new. It's an older apartment, but it's my new apartment. I've put everything in its place. I'm sitting here, not a desk. I don't have room for a desk, and I don't want room for a desk. I'm okay with that because if I have a desk, I'm going to fill it completely with all my stuff, my stationery, and yes, that's where things go in a desk. But as I moved, I realized I have too many things. I know, I've mentioned this before, I have too many things. And it's early morning. This is the best time for me to record. I've been thinking about this recording for the past week because so much has happened. I don't even know where to start. Like, do you love my enthusiasm? Because right before I was going to record, I was thinking, oh man, I have to record. You know, this is why you listen to me, I'm sure, is because of my enthusiasm. No. I move intentionally just so that I have material to record for my podcast. Not true. I don't do that at all. So I was laying in bed. It's my day off. Yesterday too. I have 2 days off. And I'll talk about this job. So I was laying there and it's such a nice cool breeze. It's been super hot. Hot as balls, as they say, or wait, that's what I say. It's been so, so hot. It's hotter here in LA than it is in San Diego, especially because I'm in North Hollywood. I'm in the Valley, as it's called. I chose it because it's halfway between both my jobs. Right now, I just have the one job. I'm working toward the second job starting, which is the teaching job, but you know how that goes. I don't know if you do, but it takes a while. It takes a while for that to start. So I was laying in bed and I started, you know, seeing if I have messages. And then I look at Instagram. I know it's sad. It's like you wake up and then you just look at your phone. But yeah, it's just me. It's just me. And it's my day off, so I don't have to get up at 4 a.m. Like, now I have to get up earlier than before because I take the metro. I'll get into that. There's a lot of things to get into. I haven't talked to you in a while, and a lot has happened, and I don't even know where to start, but I'm working on it. So I was looking at my Instagram, and I scroll down, and I see when I went skydiving. You know, and I'm like reliving that. And I'm like, wow, like that was so awesome. And then I scroll down and then I see my previous job at the hotel where I made some cakes in the beginning. Later on, I didn't because I prepped for outlets because the hotel had like 8 outlets. Anyway, I made cakes in the beginning. So I looked at those stories or posts and then I scrolled further down and then I see Aspen, St. Regis. You know, I see the cakes I made there, the banquets, the gingerbread house, the breakfasts. I see the beautiful leaves changing, the hiking. I loved it there. I really did. And then I scroll further down and I see New York. I see when I worked at Lederach at Fifth Avenue, the chocolate sculptures I make. I scroll further down and I see Switzerland. You know, when I'm hiking in the mountains, I see when I worked at the chocolate factory, how I'm tempering the chocolate. And then I couldn't scroll down further. I wanted to scroll further down, but then the phone was like, nope, not happening. I have internet access, but maybe I don't have the top tier, right? I have the second to top tier, so I can only scroll so much. Hopefully this recording comes out great because it's been so much. I know we all have a lot, okay, and there's a lot going on in the world, and everything's kind of shitty, right? I'm just gonna say that. there's a lot of shitty things going out there. And then you listen to me and it's like, oh, wow, she moved. Really? Like, this is her major thing. Okay, it's a major thing for me. Yeah, you know, I haven't been deported by ICE or I haven't been in an earthquake or, okay, nothing like that. It's just me moving. But my life has changed. And when I look at those posts I had for the past, you know, 5 years, I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed in that moment because a lot has happened. I didn't set out to do those things. That's just my life. That's just my life happening to me, right? I'm not saying we have no control, of course. These are choices I have made. And we have free will, you know, but what happens in our lives affects our choices, right? Like in all these posts, there's different men I dated in those places, you know, and there's random pictures. And then, of course, my marriage, which was short-lived, unfortunately, not by my choice, you know? So it's not like I thought, oh yeah, let me move back to LA because I really, really want to. Most of it has been survival, right? Like, I look at my face, I'm getting more wrinkles. This happens, we age. And I'm fine with that. But this has been my life, right? I constantly look for something set. That's what I want. And maybe it's because I want it, I'm not getting it, right? The things we want, we have a harder time getting. All I really want, I just want a set place. I want something where I can make enough money and then just travel. But that's been the thing. As a chef, when you make good money, you don't have the time. Unless, like in Aspen, the resort closes, but then you only have those set times where you can travel and it's kind of wintry, you know? And, or you have time and no money. So, yeah, I don't know. I didn't set out for these things. And I thought, okay, I'm going to LA because, yes, it's a big city, it's not as pretty as San Diego. But I can make more money. And most importantly, the acting, right? I want to do that again. I never stop thinking about it. So I guess I can look at it a different way, you know, that this was meant to happen so that I continue that. But that was never, oh yeah, this is why I have to move, you know, I have to do this. And I think now everything's just catching up to me. You know, I still love my ex because it's not like, oh, someone's out of your life and there's no more emotion. No, that's not the case. I love my new apartment. I'm so happy that everything worked out, right? Like that one day I went to look at 11 apartments. This was the last one on the list. And this is the one I move into. And I'm so thankful that it all worked out. Like a part of me thinks, actually most of me thinks, everything I set out to do happened. And it was very, very stressful. More stressful than I think, admit. You know, because that feeling, that thought in the back of your head that I have to trust, like this has to work out. Because if it doesn't, then my equation is messed up, you know? I got the job, so I worked there 3 days. It was delayed 2 days because they did a background check like the day before I was supposed to start. And I'm thinking, don't you do a background check like before you hire the person? I don't know. I guess they weren't too worried about that. So yeah, I was supposed to start on a Wednesday, last Wednesday. But then on Monday, I started getting this email. and it said I had to do a background check. But I thought it was spam because I've applied to a lot of jobs and I get the weirdest emails. So I'm not just randomly clicking on background checks. I mean, come on, right? So I'm like, okay, this is spam. So I spam it. And then the day before, the company says, I have to do a background check. Did you get the email? And I'm like, I did get an email, but nobody notified me of this. So I thought it was spam. So they're like, okay, you have to do it ASAP so that you can start. We can't start you without you doing this background check. And I'm thinking, great. What the hell? So I quickly do it. And that's the thing that sucks about moving, right? Like, and then I know this because every time I've moved, you have to check your background, your credit score, right? Like, so moving into apartment, they check your credit score. Getting gas, getting water, they check your credit score. And now the company, you know, they check your background, make sure there's no crazy things in the background. I had to do a live scan yesterday, which was an FBI check for the school. So I don't think those things affect my credit score, but there's a lot of checking. There's a lot of checking going on. And now my credit score has dropped because of these things. So, you know, it drops like 70 points for one check or something stupid. And then it takes, I don't know, 6 months to go up 10 points. You know, it's ridiculous. So when I live in a place, I build up my credit score. And then when I move, I'm like, ah, oh, damn, it's going to drop again, you know, because you end up spending more money on U-Hauls, on Amazon, right? I had to get small things that the apartment needs. For example, the cabinets, they're not closing properly. So I have to get like cabinet magnet things on the inside, you know, just small things like that. I'm not saying this is the most essential thing I need, but I like to have things in order. And new places need different things that you don't know they need before you move there. You know, so I had to get the sticky tape on my window, in the front window, because it's this giant window and everyone that walks by can look inside my apartment, for example, right? So just small things like that. I had to get this hose that twists into my kitchen sink so I can water my plants in the back, in my yard. This is the main reason I picked this apartment, was because of the yard. Before, I had a patio in my other apartment in San Diego, and this was small compared to now. Like now this is, I'd say, three times the size. Yeah, I'd say three times. Like it's a pretty good size. And thank God, because, okay, I gotta start because this move was intense. It was very stressful. So last Friday, I moved. Okay, and my ex helped me, which I'm very grateful that he did, because movers would have cost $2,000 minimum. You know, they always quote you a price and then it ends up being way more than they quoted because of all the, you know, bits and bobs. So he offered to help. And I'm thinking, why? Like, why would you help? Right? I've never had exes that actually help. So that's weird to me. But I'm not going to question that because I need the help. I do. I need the help. So I'm like, okay, yes, you can help me. You know, but this was a very emotional, it was just a weird day. And I'll get into that. Okay, so I had my last day at work 2 days before, and at the end, you know, I started hanging out more with people at work because for the last few months, you know, my ex left, so I was being more social. Because now, after work, I didn't rush to come home to spend time with my husband, who didn't want to spend time with me. I hung out with people from work instead, and, you know, went kayaking. We went out to dinners. Like, it was nice. it was nice to hang out with friends. So the last few days, people wanted to do stuff with me. So we went out for karaoke, which was so much fun. Karaoke is always a good time. Like, that's for sure. That is 100% sure thing. I did things, and then in the background, I'm thinking, okay, I have to pack. I packed a lot, and I made sure everything was organized. Everything was in boxes. I packed everything. I taped it. I made sure there were no open tops. Everything was secure so that everything's ready, right? I took my bed apart. I took this island I had apart. I took everything apart that I could. And some things I'm like, it's going to be fine. Everything's going to fit into the truck. I got a bigger truck. It was a 20-foot truck. I rented a U-Haul. And my ex shows up. You know, we talk like the night before. I say, okay, I'll pick you up at your apartment. And I've never been to his apartment before. I didn't go in. I just went into the entryway, you know, the like driveway area. He gave me his address and he messages me, I'll be right out. So I'm like, okay, he'll be right out. But I was confused about the entry, because there was a building, but there were two entrances. So I thought I was in the wrong one. But since he said he'll be right out, I thought he was standing waiting somewhere. So I call. I called him and he didn't answer. So this whole time I'm like, am I in the wrong spot? Is he waiting somewhere? So I sit there for a couple minutes. He's not there. So then as I'm leaving, I left to go look at the other entryway. And as I'm leaving, he walks out and he does this like hand gesture, like, what the fuck are you doing? And of course, okay, I do like a U-turn in the road and then I drive back and I'm like, you didn't pick up. I didn't know where you were. So already he thinks, okay, I'm doing something weird. From there, we drive to the U-Haul. So it was warm that day. And I couldn't use my AC. Well, I didn't use my AC. So what happened the night before, I went to get a Thai massage, which I really needed because I've been packing and I hadn't gotten a massage in a really long time. And I love Thai massages. The best massage. If you ever get a massage, just get a Thai massage because they stretch you. You feel so limber after a Thai massage. I went and had Thai food, which is right across from the Thai massage. Best, the best. Of course, after massage, you need to eat Thai food. So I went and did that with a friend of mine from work. And that was the night before. So I get back to my apartment and my car engine feels really hot. And it's not like after I park, I feel my engine, right? There was bird poop on the hood of the engine, like the hood part. So I wipe that off. It was like dry and crusty. You know, I get a wet paper towel and then I notice, oh, wow, this is really hot. You know, I'm like, should it be this hot? So I put up the hood and I'm like, I don't remember an engine being this hot for just driving like 5 minutes, you know, maybe an hour, but this was 5 minutes. So I was nervous. I wasn't looking for things to go wrong, but I was just hypersensitive because the next day was the move. So I'm thinking I need to go by like a dealership, you know, for someone to look at the car. Like, what if I'm driving, we're moving, and I've got my car full and I have to pull over because my engine's overheating. The light wasn't on for the overheating, right? Like the temperature gauge was normal, but it just, I've never felt that. And it was unsettling for me. So I asked my ex, you know, in the morning, I said, I'm worried because it was very hot. And he said, well, then go by the dealership, you know, because I had been there a week before and they checked the car out. And he said, you should go by the dealership, let them check it out because they just did. I go by the dealership, but I go the day of the move. So I pick up my ex. We pick up the U-Haul. It's a 20-foot, which I thought would be bigger. Like when I'm standing in front of it, I'm like, oh, this isn't that big. Like the whole time U-Haul saying, oh, this is a larger model. not all locations have this, so I had to go somewhere more random to pick it up. I'm standing in front of it, and I'm like, it's not that big. Like, for all this stuff I've been packing for the last, like, month and a half, it doesn't look that big, but okay. So he drives it to the apartment, our apartment, and I say, okay, I have to go to the dealer. I will be as fast as possible for them to look at the car. And he's like, oh, must be nice. Like, you know, he said it as a joke, but obviously it wasn't a joke. And I said, well, you said I should go by the dealer, you know? And I'm like, I'll be as fast as I can. So I just try and let that comment roll off, you know, because again, he's helping. So he gets a worker to help him, like one of his workers, because he has his construction company. So they start loading. I go as fast as I can, not using the AC, because AC adds to temperature, engine temperature getting warmer, you know, so I'm paranoid. I go to the dealer, they look at everything, and then they say there's nothing wrong. They say it's normal for the engine to get hot like that in a few minutes. And I'm like, are you sure? They're like, yes. I'm like, okay. And I pray that they're right. And they were. I haven't had any issues. But okay, I was hypersensitive. I get back to the apartment. My ex is in the U-Haul. It's like halfway full. But it's halfway full in not a good way. Like, there's gaps. I don't know. I don't think he plays Tetris or has in the past, because loading a U-Haul is purely Tetris, right? And I have a lot of things, okay? Because in this time that I've lived there, close to a year and a half, I also had a business, all right? So I got additional things for that. I did sort through some of my things, and I did donate some things. But remember, in this apartment, this is where I had the accumulation of my whole life. Which before, when I lived in Aspen, I had things in my apartment, but I also had an additional storage with things that I couldn't get through from a previous storage, okay? Like, my whole life has been a storage. And this apartment, now I've had everything, okay? Because a couple months prior, I even closed the storage that we had because my ex said, we have too many things in the house. So I was trying to make it seem less, okay? So I put things in the storage. The business things were in storage. Some of his construction things were in storage. But we closed it because it was $200 a freaking month. And then since he left, I was trying to save money even more so. So I had the things in the living room, and I decided to go through them. Okay, he's filled the U-Haul halfway, and he's like, your stuff's not going to fit. Like, most of this stuff's not going to fit. Like, just being super negative. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, so I get there. The minute I get there, he stresses me out. And I say, can we please try to make it fit? So he just had this negative attitude. And he's sweating and he looks pissed. And I'm like, why are you pissed? And he's just like, it's just not going to fit. So, like, I don't understand why he offered to help when his attitude was completely altered. And he said I should go by the dealer. You know, like, when he's not in a stressful situation, he was very positive. But then you put him in that stressful situation and very negative. Okay, so I say, let me load. I'm going to load. And can you get me small things, you know, that I'm going to fill the cracks with? Like, I see he just filled boxes and he didn't stuff things in the tops. There's shelves that I didn't take apart because they've moved a few too many times. And at this point, if you take them apart, they'll probably get messed up. So, and he stuffed some things in those, you know, holes, but not enough. So it's halfway full. And he's just getting all the things. He's putting the things outside the truck, not even like close to me, So for me to get things, I have to climb out of the truck, go back in. It's like 95 degrees. And in the hot truck, it's like 105 because it's made of like aluminum. You know, especially I'm close to the ceiling. I'm climbing onto things to push things back. I'm balancing on things to fit things. Okay, so I fill things and it's still halfway full because I'm using all this space that he didn't use. And every time he comes out, he's like, this isn't going to fit. Like, you still have so many things, it's not going to fit. And then he says, as you're going through things, you should get rid of things. You know, like giving me advice. And I'm like, you don't need to say this to me now. You know, you're not in my life anymore. You don't need to say this to me. He's like stressing me out. He's just stressing me out because he doesn't know what I've been doing since he left. Okay, since he left, I have been going through my things. I've been going through emotional turmoil, right? My husband walked out. He left me because he was having panic attacks. And instead of staying and sorting things out with me, with your partner, he wanted to do it by himself. Of course, the person who leaves, you know, they probably think about this a few months, a few weeks beforehand, right? They're the first to know before you know, obviously, because they're not communicating that. They're not going to say a few months prior, oh, by the way, I'm going to leave you in a few months, right? They're just thinking that. It's like bubbling up in their minds that this is probably going to happen. Okay, so for me, when it happened, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, this is happening. Like, what? You know, so in my head, he just had one foot out the door for how long? I don't know. After he left, it's like I'm processing, okay, he just left. What am I supposed to do? I need to make money. I need to get a better job. I need to live somewhere where there's less rent, where I can afford to pay. You know, all of a sudden my life changes like that. Okay, and this has been the last 3 months. Me trying to figure out, and this has been survival, because living with someone is different than living by yourself, obviously, because you don't have that support. It's easier to live with someone because your rent is split in half. You know, if 1 month you don't get great money, the other person hopefully does, and you help each other out, right? Like, I had health insurance. And through me, he had health insurance. Like, there's perks. There's also more complications with living with someone, right? You have to deal with more things. Like, what are their needs? What are their wants? And he never told me these things. He never told me what he needed, what he wanted. And then he just got overwhelmed and left, okay? So this is my point of view on his situation. So from my point of view, that was selfish of him. I was just kind of left in the dark. Okay, so now he's giving me advice on me having too much stuff and that I should go through my things. First of all, I had been, and my history with having so many things is based on my childhood, right? If you listen to some other episodes, and it's very hard for me to let go because all these things have memories. So meanwhile, when I was living with him, he got me stuff. He got me things. And now he's saying, oh, I shouldn't be having things. You know, I should be getting rid of things. I was like, so what you're saying is the opposite of what you did as well by giving me things. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's very interesting when people say something and what they do, right? Like, he's saying, I should go to the dealership. He will help me. Like, these are all positive things in the way he said it. But then when he shows up and his actions, right? Like him stressing out, loading the truck, saying none of it's going to fit. And then him freaking out that I'm actually going to the dealership. Like, these are opposite things in his actions of what he said. Okay, I haven't been great at picking partners. This is obvious, right? But that is a huge thing that I have to look at, is not just people saying things, men saying things. You have to look at their actions. What do they do? Do their actions match up to what they're saying? And then the weird thing is, after he left, he wanted to talk, which he didn't want to do in the relationship. You know, so you leave because you don't want to talk to me, but now you've left and now you want to talk to me. So it's like, what the fuck? I've just been confused these last 3 months, dealing with everything, getting my life together. And now it's Dave the Move, right? I hadn't seen him for like over a month and he's stressing me out. So I'm filling the U-Haul with, this is all my stuff, right? Because if I don't fit this stuff, then there's another issue. There's another issue that I don't have time for or want to deal with. And it's way too hot. I'm getting dizzy. I feel that I'm getting like heat stroke. Like, not good. My back is so sweaty and wet. I'm drinking water. My mouth is dry. Like, and also I'm just stressed. Like, this man is stressing me out on an already stressful day. So he's giving me advice. I'm saying, you don't get to give me advice anymore. Okay? I said, you left because of my things. So you don't need to give me advice now. And he walks away, gets more of my stuff. And it was just so overwhelming because every time he came out, he said something that was negative towards my things. And apparently my things gave him a panic attack. Okay, so this is the deal. He's a minimalist. I'm not. He gets panic attacks when there's a lot of stuff, right? To him, it's just stuff. And now that he's left, he doesn't have to pretend like it means something to him, because none of my things mean anything to him. And whatever, they mean something to me. That's what's important. He offered to help me. He didn't have to do that, okay? Knowing I have a lot of things, he knew that, and he still offered to help. So, why? So he got a panic attack because of all my stuff, and which made him even more stressed out and more just unappealing to be around. Okay, so he's like time crunching me. We're getting the last things in. Less things fit that I wanted to. So now I want to put my large plants in there. I have a lemon tree. I have lemongrass, which he wanted me to get, by the way. And he's just assuming I'm going to leave all my plants. Hello, do you not know me? Okay, I don't have pets. I don't have kids. My plants. I have plants. I've been caring for them every freaking day, watering them. Of course I'm not going to leave my plants. Like, are you crazy? So he's walking behind me, like kind of, I felt his pressure because there's a time crunch. Everything took longer than expected because when you Tetris things, you have to make things fit in a certain way. It takes more time to fill a truck than to unload it. Okay, because it's more specific. So he's like following me and I feel the tension, you know? There's a couple things left. There's like a bookshelf, which I'm not going to take. There's some water, like extra water that, okay, he can take that. It's not going to fit anywhere. And I put the things I could into my car that I knew wouldn't fit into the U-Haul. And then I started putting plants into my car as much as I could. Okay, I have this beautiful Monstera that I got at Trader Joe's. Trader Joe's has the best plants, by the way. And every time I went to Trader Joe's, I got a new plant because they're beautiful. So the thing is, I had great lighting in my apartment and everything grew well. But now there's no space and I have to take this Monstera. So I put it in the front driver's seat. I make so many things fit, right? It's me in the midst of a plant car. It's just plants in there and things that I couldn't fit in the U-Haul. It's packed. And he's just following me. You know, he's like, we need to go. We need to go. I'm like, I'm working on it. Okay. I had a cooler, this large cooler, because I had things in the fridge that I needed to put in the cooler. I put it right next to the fridge. He packed the freaking cooler empty before I got there when I was at the dealership. So, like, nobody's thinking, right? Him and his helper, they just loaded things. I even put Post-its on bags that I needed, and it said, Cat's car, right? Like, I am pre-thinking things that need to fit in my car or wherever. Like, I fully organized everything. As I was loading the U-Haul, they put the things that had the Post-it notes saying Cat's car into the U-Haul. And I'm like, no, it says Cat's car. So I put those things in my car. You know, it's just like nobody was thinking and they didn't give a shit. Okay, and that was the worst part, because I thought at least him living with me, him saying he would help, he would do more actual mind usage, right? And think with me. No, I was the only one thinking. Nobody cared about my stuff. It was just stressing me out. And all of this added more stress. So we finally leave. Okay, and by the way, I had all these boxes of cookbooks at the top of the stairs. I lived in a townhouse. It was two-story. Another reason why there's more stuff, because it just felt bigger. And I had these boxes of cookbooks. Apparently, when I was at the dealership, he brought them down the stairs, and he probably took two boxes at once. Well, one of those boxes fell and basically made a hole into the wall. So, you know, when I went through the house, I saw this hole, and I'm like, what happened? He said it was one of the book boxes. And I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm not going to get into this. I didn't have a chance to clean the apartment. There's a hole in the wall. I had to leave some of the plants. I told the office manager, you know, if there are plants left, please take them. So I mentioned that to her. And yeah, my ex had to go back another day and clean. But I didn't ask for the details on that. We left. Okay, so he drives the U-Haul. And I'm praying that everything's fine. Because I had some plants in there. I hope the stuff doesn't fall on the plants. Anyway, as I'm driving, I start to break down, right? I call my friend because she's going to be in LA helping me when I get here. And she got three college guys to help unload who I'm going to pay. I call her and I just realized, like, you know, I start crying because it was so stressful. And I tell her just his negative attitude and how it made me feel. And she's like, what the fuck? You know, so that was hard. And as I'm driving, like, I call my dad, like, let him know we're on our way, everything's okay. And then my ex stops because we hadn't eaten all day and it's been hot and we're feeling lightheaded. I don't stop. I continue. So I'm like 20 minutes in front of him. I find an apple that I had, you know, in a bag like next to me. And my ex stops for McDonald's with the U-Haul. Thankfully, I put a padlock on it. He wasn't even going to padlock it. But I'm like, no, like, I know you don't care about my shit, but I want to padlock it. So anyway, it takes us forever to get there. Technically, LA is only 2 hours away, but it was a Friday. It was the Friday of Labor Day weekend. Monday was Labor Day, like the following Monday. So everyone's leaving early, trying to get ahead of the long weekend. It took like 3 hours, over 3 hours. It took over 3 hours to get here to LA, North Hollywood. And pretty much once I entered LA, it was 15 miles an hour. Like, you're just driving slow, slow, slow. We communicate on the way, my ex and I. He's like, you know, now he's just like 10 minutes behind me. he basically caught up a little bit. I don't know how. And I said to him, I said, you were so negative today. If you're going to be this negative unloading, you can just leave. He said, no, I'm going to help. I said, okay, then you offered to help. So then just be more positive. So we get to the apartment. My friend is there. The three guys helping are there. They unload. So my apartment, it has a back entrance. There's covered parking. That's where the U-Haul was. And there's a gate. And there's 10 steps. And then to the left, there's my apartment. The steps were the hard part. Very frustrating, very hard. I'm so glad that the three guys were there. And you could tell they were like ready for it to be over. You know, it wasn't like the thing they wanted to do. And my ex didn't say anything regarding my stuff around me. But then my friend said every time he came into the apartment, he was joking, like, oh, where to put this? Where to put that? You know, because I have so much stuff. The apartment was a mess, right? Like it seemed very small because it was just filled with boxes everywhere, boxes everywhere. And I had to move some things because the couch was on the wrong side of the wall. The bed wouldn't fit on the ground. Like there were that many boxes. And yes, I have more stuff to fill things with than I do actual furniture, you know, but it was a lot of things. So come to find out, dropping off the U-Haul is just a mile away. Like everything here is very close, which is nice. Like Trader Joe's is 6 minutes. A pole studio is 6 minutes. Everything's just 6 minutes away, which is very convenient. And luckily I have the backyard, right? So there were even boxes out there, outdoor stuff, like just a lot of things everywhere. So we drop off the U-Haul and then he says how my friend was giving him the evil stare. And I say, well, just be nice to me. Just say nice things to me. And he's like, what are you talking about? He's like, I am nice. He's like, I'm a nice guy. I'm not here for you to hate me. He's like, you want to hate me, but I'm a nice guy. I'm a good guy. And I say, I don't hate you. I say, if I hated you, I wouldn't care. You know, if you hate someone, the things they do and say, I feel like they don't affect me as much as when you love someone, right? Like when you love someone, everything's emotional, everything's raw, okay? And I said, I don't hate you. It's because I still have emotions. This is why everything has been so hard. And he's like, well, it's been hard for me too. So whenever I focus on me, he always switches it back on him. You know, so he doesn't know my situation the past 3 months. It's just what he's been going through. So it's like, okay, I can't talk to you. I can't talk to you because, okay, my situation is about me, right? And his situation is about him. So there's no point really talking. But then we do talk and I say, it just feels like you had one foot out of the door the whole time. And he's like, no, I wanted this. I wanted this with you. He's like, I just couldn't. And I said, because you weren't communicating with me, you weren't talking, I didn't know what you needed or wanted, you know? So he's like, well, these things, they gave me a panic attack and I just need to be without things. So this is what I'm saying. Actual things don't give you a panic attack unless there's something emotional behind it, right? Like, for example, my stuff is a reflection of my emotions, right? Like my things made me feel safe growing up. Because when my parents argued, I felt safe with my things, okay? So I would go to my room with my things and I would feel safe. So when I go on vacation, when I travel, I have small things from each place. Okay, and they give me memories. They make me feel good about my life, that I'm doing something. And memories are important, right? I'm a different kind of person than he is. But for him, it has the opposite effect. Okay, he's happy when he gets to throw things away. For him, too much stuff makes him feel unsettled. But it's not the stuff. Like, what's the emotion behind it that is giving you this feeling. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just from the surface. When things are wrong, we just look at the things on the surface. But what is behind it? It's when you look behind it, that's when things get interesting. We adapt certain things to make us feel a certain way because of our past, because the things we experienced. We have a conversation and I basically just say, thank you for helping. You know, like I try and appreciate him for helping despite us not seeing eye to eye or seeing each other's just emotions, right? Like he doesn't get my point of view. I don't get his point of view. And that's it. So he basically comments on me saying, you know, will I drive him to his friends? His friend was like an hour away. I say, no, I'm not going to drive you an hour away because then I have to drive an hour back and I have to sort all my boxes out. I just moved. I can drive you to the train station. He wasn't having that. So we had his friend pick him up. In that time, he was in the apartment. He helped me with a couple things. He moved some boxes to make room. You know, and it was just like, in that moment, I saw, okay, yes, we are different. We, I guess, should not be together, you know? Because how can you be with someone who feels the opposite about your things than you do, right? Who has opposite emotions. And the way he feels stresses me out, okay? So I stress him out with my stuff. He stresses me out with his comments. So yeah, we're not, it's not a good match. And it's at the same time, it's hard because we were good together, okay? Despite this, I don't know, is that just me being delusional? Like, there are things about partners that are not so good, and then there are things that are good. But I guess when things don't work out, you focus on the good, right? Instead of why it didn't work out. But the main reason it didn't work out is because he was not communicating with me. Anyway, he left, and then my friend stayed. She basically took care of me. Like, she bought food. So I ate basically for the first time that day, other than an apple. And she helped me move some things around. She was trying to kind of get me inspired about where to put things and how to organize things, which was very nice. But I was so low just on energy, you know, because I couldn't sleep that morning. I woke up at like 4:30 a.m. and now it's 11 p.m. and I've just moved all the stuff around. My whole body hurts. I have no more energy. It's like when your whole body hurts and you have everything hurts and you're still doing stuff because you have to. I wanted to shut off, but I couldn't. Anyway, she left and I laid the mattress down and I slept that night. And so for the past 7 days, I've done nothing but sort everything out. And luckily, because his apartment is older, the closets are huge, which I didn't know how big they were. Because when I looked at the apartment, other people were living here and there were already boxes around. So I couldn't even open closet doors to see, and there was stuff in them. So you can't tell, right, when things are full. So I did get a bookcase with like a glass cabinet to make it look nicer, right? Less like cluttery. I cleaned my carpets, like steam cleaned them. They were pretty dirty. I put up my curtains. I put things together. I got this shed, which is a nightmare to put together. I even had a friend come, so we put things together. But the night was good because I tested out my Uni pizza oven, which works great. And I love it in the backyard. So the whole week has just been this craziness of me unpacking. Like, I've had so much to do. The good thing about that is I haven't had time to think about just everything that's happened. And today was the first day where just everything hit me. And I thought, okay, I even have to record today. So So then last Wednesday, no, last Friday was my first work day. I work at a place called Bottega Louie, and their desserts are beautiful. Apparently, the owner said it's a made-up name. He's not Italian or French, but Bottega is Italian, and the Louis part is the French part. So I guess you can have Italian and French pastries. That's what they do. So I work in the pastry kitchen, which is across the street from the restaurant. The restaurant is downtown. Beautiful. Marble. They make everything. The pizzas, the pastas, the croissants, everything. And all of that stuff is made in the basement, a giant basement, across the street, down an elevator. Okay. And I get there at 6 a.m. But I have to wake up at 4:15 because now I take the metro. Before the day of my workday, which I thought was going to be Wednesday, but on Tuesday, I woke up at 4 a.m. to do a test run. I'm like, okay, I'm going to test to see how long it takes on the metro. I didn't have to, but I wanted to make sure I have everything down. So I get to the metro. First off, I have to drive there. I could take a bike, but I'm thinking maybe not. Maybe not right now. Okay, I got to ease into this. It's still dark in the mornings and it's getting to become winter, so it's going to get darker. And my bike has a flat tire, so I'm like, okay, I'm going to drive to the metro, which is a 4-minute drive, very close. It would take like 15 minutes by foot, but I'm not going to walk in the dark. Because people don't walk in LA, okay? So it makes it kind of sketchy. When nobody's walking and you're walking in the dark at like 5 a.m., sketchy. So I drive to the metro station, I park. You have to pay for parking, so I figure that out. It's $3 for 24 hours. Great, because downtown it's $15 for all day. I make sure, you know, I'm on the right side, like, I gotta figure it all out, because I wanna do this, I wanna take the metro. I get on the train, and it gets there pretty fast. It takes me like 30 minutes. So now I'm in downtown, it's like 5:30 a.m., a lot of homeless are out, weird people there. And you know how people, when they see someone they like me, they say things under their breath, like, oh, sexy, or the, you know, like this is annoying, like gross comments. So there is that. So I'm not feeling too safe, but all the businesses are still closed, right? It's super early. So I'm like, okay, I guess that worked out. Now I got to go back. So that was my metro test run and I take it back. So now I'm in downtown. I take it back to North Hollywood. As I'm waiting, there's a guy, and he said, is this the stop to get to Hollywood? You know, like, is this the right side of the train? And I said, yes. And there was a sign, but he sounded like he had a German accent. So I said, where are you from? You know, he looked very young, so it's nothing like that. I haven't seen people in a while because I had been in my apartment just, like, unpacking. So this guy seemed like safe, right? So I said, where are you from? And he said, Poland. And I said, oh, okay. I thought maybe German. I said, because I'm German, but you're Polish. I don't speak Polish. So anyway, we continue talking in English. And the train comes and he says, I was just in Hawaii and Honolulu, Hawaii for 3 weeks. The first time in the US, and his stop to go is Hawaii. So he went diving. He shows me this video of when he went diving with these sea turtles. Amazing video, right? He went deep sea diving. This sea turtle swims up right in front of him and eats some plankton, right? I think that's what they eat. And it was just beautiful video. So he's showing me all these videos and I'm like, that's amazing. I'm like, so where are you going now? And he's like, what did he say? He said, I have a 15-hour in-between airport stop, and I want to go to the back of the Hollywood sign. I said, wow, so you so you want to go to the back. So that means he has to hike up the hills, you know. So he took the metro from the airport. So his luggage and all is at the airport. And he took the metro the whole way from the airport, which I guess at that hour, right? Like now it's like close to 6 a.m. So he had already been traveling on the metro for over 2 hours to get to where I am. So I think total it took him like 3 hours just to get to where I am. And now he still has to hike, okay? So I say, show me the pictures of when you get up there, you know? So we exchange Instagram information. And hours later that day, he sends me a video of him behind the Hollywood sign. And I was like, wow, you did it. Like, that's awesome. And he said, it wasn't as cool as I thought it would be. And I say, oh, I'm like, I'm sorry. But so I guess like the next day, he flew from LA to London. And he also stopped in London. And he said London was a lot cooler than LA. I say, okay, well, London, you know, there's a lot going on. LA is very spread out. People say that, like tourists tend to say that about LA, how they don't like LA. But when you get to know LA, there's a lot of cool areas. Okay, I just met this guy on the metro. He was very nice. It was very nice to have conversation. You know, so I get back to my car, and that was my day excursion. I find a grocery store nearby. There's a movie theater nearby. I have to get my cable going, you know, so when you move, you just have to figure out all these things, right? Okay, so my apartment at this point is almost all done. It's taken me forever, and I've gotten up early because I can't rest fully when I know there's a lot going on. So Friday's my first work day. I do the whole metro run. Everything works great. I get to work. People seem nice, right? There's a large crew. There's a pastry chef that I met when I had my stage. And now there's another pastry chef who's from Brazil, of course. Now I just see people from Brazil everywhere. But he seems very nice. So when you're Brazilian, okay, and you speak English, like you don't say nice. Okay, every word that has an E ending, they say nice E, right? So nice E. He said, oh, that looks nice-y, or, and I don't have all these examples right now. But anyway, it's just all the things that I talked about with my ex, right? Like now I have this chef and it's the exact same thing. And he just reminds me of all these things that I learned about Brazilian people. Anyway, there's that. But they have me make these tarts. They sell peach tarts. So they have these case items, these beautiful items. It's about 12 items. Everyone's working as a team getting these items finished. But the weekends are always very busy. Okay, so I work Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So Saturday, everything has to be ready by 9:30. But it wasn't. Saturday, we were playing catch up because there wasn't enough items made to build these items. For example, I had to build a peach tart. It has a lemongrass basil ganache on the inside with a peach basil jam inlay. So I have the tart, I fill the ganache, I put the inlay and then more ganache on top. I blast chill that, and then on top goes a sliced peach decoration, which takes forever. Like just to mandolin all these peaches, oh my God. And then the peaches that are left, like the slices that you can't use, those are used for the next inlays, right? The jam marmalade inlay. So I made those, they took forever. There's two locations, they're working on a third location. And they're constantly creating new desserts, right? So they just did this banana dessert. It's like a banana milk chocolate, which is very tasty. Normally, I don't like banana desserts, but this one is very good. you know, they make all these entremet cakes. So everything goes up into the case at 9:30. There's a guy, he picks everything up, he delivers it to the West Hollywood location, and then one across the street. But I'm getting mixed vibes from the employees working there. And they're not telling me because it's like my second and third day. You know, so I don't know all the drama, but there's definitely drama. And then one of the cooks says, he's like, it's pretty easy to work here. He's like, you're just going to have trouble with the staff. And I'm like, what does that mean? And he said, well, sometimes people just don't show up, or they show up 3 hours late. You know, things like that. So I'm thinking, okay. I'm like, okay, I don't know. But there's definitely got to be drama, that's for sure. You know, and I'm thinking, okay, I just need this job to make some income. But they're very strict, so I get paid hourly. I'm a pastry chef. I didn't want salary. Okay, I didn't want salary because I don't want to be there for 12 hours a day. Okay, I want my set hours. I leave so I can do other things like audition, for example, or teach, you know. But they only schedule everyone for 7 hours. So that you never get overtime. Okay, so even if you have a lot to do and you stay 30 minutes extra, you're still 30 minutes away from having overtime. So it's like they have a 1 hour buffer. So nobody goes over that 1 hour unless it's Christmas, what I've heard. You know, I haven't experienced that yet. So I don't know the drama yet. There's definitely drama. I'm working on the teaching thing, like, they're still verifying my previous jobs, right? Because they have to verify my jobs. I have an associate's degree. If you have a bachelor's degree, they, I guess, don't verify your experience per se because the degree is enough, okay? But I only have an associate's degree, which is 2 years. They want 6 years experience. I have over 22 years in years of experience. Okay, I'm not saying I've been in this industry over 22 years. It's been like 15, but I've had two jobs at the same time. So that adds up in years, right? So now they have to go to my past jobs and verify that I worked there. You know, so that's happening. I had to go yesterday, get an FBI check, like a background check for this teaching job, make sure I don't have some criminal history. Okay, great. You know, so there's just all these things that need to be taken care of that the first couple months you just have to deal with, right? It takes a while to get your routine. It takes a while to get your new job going and know everything you need to do. This is the hard part about moving. Okay, I've done this so much that, okay, like, yes, this is what I have to do. The good thing is my ex still pays me alimony for the next 2 months. So yeah, I took a week off to move, you know, so I wasn't making money in that time. So I knowingly moved at this time, knowing that he's still paying me. So yeah, that's happening. I go back to work tomorrow. I'll let you know the drama, but I don't know it yet, you know. And then a friend of mine who's in casting, she says there may be an audition for a cookie commercial, which would be perfect. I say, yes, I would like to audition for that. So I don't know what the deal is with that. But my feeling is I don't know how long I'm going to be at this bakery. You know, it's just something I need now. And we'll see how it goes. You know, but if I can get auditions and things like that, great. You know, this is why I moved to LA. I didn't move to LA for the scenery, because San Diego is where the scenery is at compared to here. And we'll see. You know, I did go to Malibu a week ago to meet a friend who actually moved here from Aspen. We both worked at the St. Regis together. So now she lives here. So we met at Malibu Beach, and it was pretty hard, like driving through the hills, because I have to drive through the hills to get to the ocean. And remember the fires, like last, was it January, February? I think January, almost, you know, beginning of the year, that affected LA, like Malibu, like all those places were on fire. And now there's nothing left. All those houses are gone. A lot of the houses, maybe I want to say 75% is gone. You know, and some houses didn't get fire at all. Lucky them. But on some of them, it's just the entranceway that's left. But the whole house is gone. And some are being rebuilt, so there's a lot of construction. You know, so that was hard to see. So I went straight to the beach and met my friend. And just, there's beachfront property that is empty because of fire. You know, and a few months prior to that, the fire, the insurances, they canceled the fire insurance, which was weird, but that happened, you know, so they never got money to rebuild. So all those people lost money, you know, so a lot of people moved away, which is so sad. That shouldn't be the case. So yeah, it was kind of crazy sitting on the beach, and the waves were high, a lot higher waves than normal. And this guy wanted to go into the water with a kayak. And I'm like, what are you doing, dude? Like, don't do it. So he's trying for 30 minutes to get in. He tries a couple times. The wave swallows him up in the kayak. The kayak, he falls out of the kayak. The kayak hits him and he doesn't stop. You know, like he's determined. So I'm just watching him for the next like 30 minutes as he's trying to get into this crazy wave water. And I'm like, oh my God, I would never do that. Like, I went into ocean water in San Diego at a cove. Okay. So it was pretty peaceful. I'm not going to go into these like 10 foot waves. Okay. With a kayak. Anyway, he did make it. Like, I don't know how many bruises he got. Or damage from being hit by the kayak, but he finally made it in and he paddled out fast. I'm just trying to get settled in. You know, I've got my apartment settled. I'm working on the garden now. I've got these garden tiles. There's only one area of the garden where I can put my plants because the sun is so strong during the day that it burns plants. Very, very strong. And again, it's hotter in the valley than it is by the ocean because you're on the other side of the mountains, the Hollywood Hills. And I'm trying to put the shed together. My friend came by, helped me. We made a whole video of it. It was like a $200 shed and it's made so cheaply, right? Like, it's super bendable. You could pick up the whole shed if you wanted to. So I have to like screw it down to the floor. We'll see how it goes. You know, but the last week has been just a lot happening emotionally. I'm processing everything that's happened. Like, I was thinking, I don't have much, right? I have these memories. I have all these places I've worked. I have a low 401k. I don't have many savings because I spent that in San Diego. I don't know. I have trust. I have trust that it's going to work out. Because it has so far, right? Me getting here in this time frame, everything has worked that I've needed. It's still not easy. But because I feel like it's worked out in the time frame that I needed, I'm supposed to be here. Like, that's how I feel. So I'll keep you posted. Thank you for listening. Until next time. This is Kat the Baker.